Hi, I'm Dr. Beth Mollison.
And I'm Dr. Alyssa Watson.
Thanks for joining us in the Veterinary Break Room. These are short conversations where we chat informally about relevant topics in veterinary medicine. And today we are going to talk about upcoming Vet Tech Week a little bit, or I should say have a Vet Tech focused episode here. And so one of the questions that we focused on was we kind of thought, hey, what do Vet Techs want us to know? What if they could, what would sort of feedback would they give us to us as veterinarians? We knew they would have some good thoughts for us. And so Dr. Alyssa and I actually both asked a few of our colleagues. And Dr. Alyssa, what sort of feedback did you get?
So I sent out just a text to several of the technicians that I have had just the extreme pleasure of working with over the years. And I will tell you, over almost 20-year career, I have worked with some excellent veterinary technicians. And some of them, unfortunately, aren't in the profession anymore. In fact, I found out when I sent one of these texts that somebody that I had worked with, you know, recently, just in the last 5 years, has left the profession as well, which I thought was really sad, you know. So we know that there's things that are going on, there's stressors, and that we're losing vet techs. And that was just another reason we wanted to do this. Not surprising, many of them said that they need more respect and as well as more duties. You know, they want us to know that they are capable, that they want to work, that they care very, very deeply about their patients, and they want to do more things. So that was kind of the range of responses that I got. How about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly got some responses that echo a few of the things that you said. One of the things that really struck me about the responses was, to be honest, I thought that money was going to be the first thing that everybody brought up, and it wasn't, which I think is both good and bad. I think maybe I like to think that it's as simplistic as they went looking for a career that would pay them more, or that it's just a salary issue. But the responses I got, a topic that came up several times was toxic employees, where people had actually left the workplace because of a single employee, which I thought was very interesting and something to reflect upon. And then kind of a little bit more back to like, what do they want us to know on a day-to-day life? You hit on another one that I saw a lot, which is that using them to the best of their ability. And Alyssa, I feel like we've talked about this over a few different topics lately when it comes to how busy the veterinary profession is and how we really need to be using vet techs to their full capacity, and not just to alleviate stress on ourselves, but also to give our wonderful vet techs more of a purpose in the clinic, to make them feel more satisfied by their career, to make them enjoy the work they're doing, get to hands-on help animals. So that was another theme that came up a lot. And, you know, of course, like we said, we asked a few of our fellow coworkers or former coworkers, but I also did a little bit of research, and I did see that in 2018, there was some research done out of Colorado State University by Lori Kogan, who reflected kind of on this topic, like what do vet techs want veterinarians to know or practice owners to know, and what are the reasons that they're leaving the clinic? She also talked about salary, and that was something that was pretty interesting. It sounded like in 2018, the median salary for veterinary technicians was $34,000 a year or $16.55 an hour. And she mentioned that based on their research, they found that a wage that would result in better retention would be $21 an hour, just bringing that wage up by a few dollars an hour, I guess, based on their survey results, was anticipated to give people higher job satisfaction. So I found all that information really interesting.
That is really interesting. None of the technicians that I talked to specifically cited money. However, you know, my analytical brain and my bias, you know, I'm wondering if they didn't give those sorts of reasons to me. Number one, because most of the people that I contacted, you know, I consider friends.
Sure.
And they probably know that I don't really have anything to do with that as an associate veterinarian. I am not in charge of giving raises or anything like that. And we can talk a little bit later in the episode about things that are in our control and things that aren't in our control. But, you certainly this kind of larger survey, done from someplace like CSU, I think is probably going to be a little bit more accurate when it comes to finances, because I'm just wondering if maybe our friends and coworkers didn't really want to divulge that to us.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think as much as salary matters in the big picture for people, because it really does, I think so when you ask people kind of like day to day, what was it you didn't enjoy? I think on the day to day, maybe money isn't the thing that's stressing you out, even if big picture, maybe it is. So exactly like you said, when people have to report the data to the survey, I think maybe you'll tap into the finance issue a little bit more. And some of the other issues that that survey highlighted was, it just struck me, of course, how, I mean, it makes sense, but how there's so much overlap in the things that Alyssa, you and I over various discussions have discussed the same things, where having more control over our schedule, being able to have a family, being able to leave work or feel like you can leave work if your kid is sick or if you have a doctor's appointment. I think all of those things are difficult in the veterinary profession, whether you're a vet or support staff. And then another thing they mentioned was opportunity for career mobility and self-improvement, which I think gets back a lot to, like we said, trying to use veterinary technicians to the best of their ability and the maximum of their license.
Yeah. And, I know that there are a couple different disciplines where licensed technicians can go on, and achieve some higher education in anesthesiology, in dentistry. Do you know any other ones?
Not off the top of my head, but yeah, certainly there are some specialties that do have that special veterinary tech license with it. But I think even I've seen some technicians that will go on to work at a specialty hospital, even without any special certifications, and consider that kind of moving up in their career as they develop more of those hands-on specialized skills in whatever specialty they're involved in. So I think that is an interesting aspect too, that mobility is not just something that veterinarians think about, but technicians like to have those options as well.
Absolutely. And I've also known several technicians that have, kind of stepped away from a more hands-on approach in the clinic and done more managerial work. So practice manager, or even I had, worked with a very good technician who then bought into a practice, and he's an owner. So, and those are places that I know lots of veterinarians kind of talk about, well, what can I do with my license besides just practicing? And mm-hmm. I think that those conversations for veterinary technicians, are out there too. There's really a lot that you can do with your veterinary technician license that doesn't necessarily mean you're, in the back running anesthesia or drawing blood or doing a laser treatment or educating a client on diabetes,
Absolutely. Being able to use all of those just acquired skills, acquired on the job skills to make your way through management as well. Certainly I've seen that with many vet techs or even vet assistants that I've worked with in the past. And going back to that theme of kind of the toxic employees and the respect from coworkers, that was also cited in the study. And I think it was just really illuminating how important that was to people. And it did get me thinking about, what sort of control do we have over a vet tech's happiness or satisfaction with their job? And I think some of the things that they mentioned, it's hard for us as veterinarians sometimes to hear that feedback because we don't always have a big hand in being able to, being able to guide or improve the situation for some of these vet techs.
Yeah, I absolutely, have the same. So we record these episodes a little early and we wanted this to be out for Vet Tech Week. And so it's September, and every year in September, I go through this where I'm like, okay, Vet Tech Week is coming. I need to plan. I need to do something, because I truly do believe that I could not do my job without these wonderful coworkers. And I want to show my appreciation, but sometimes I feel like my hands are tied because I don't have any say in salary or giving raises or helping, schedule, moving things around, other than, if I'm the doctor on the floor and somebody calls with an emergency, a family emergency or whatever, I have the authority, thank goodness, to say, go, you know, we'll handle this without you. And so that's, you know, I feel very lucky that I'm in a situation where I at least have that much control.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's kind of one of the things I've noticed too, where it is so frustrating that we don't have direct impact on a lot of these things. But I think, again, going back to that respect from coworkers, I think vet techs seeing us advocate for them. I know, you know, I've done that on occasions where I work in corporate. So calling, you know, there's a lot of times you'll get the answers of like, oh, you know, you need to talk to somebody higher up to discuss those sorts of things. So being prepared to advocate for staff that do feel like they have needs that aren't getting met. I think them seeing you respect them enough and appreciate their work enough to kind of take those discussions to the higher ups can go a long way, even if you're not directly responsible. I think speaking up too when there is like a toxic employee. So having, you know, the overall health of the workplace in mind when you talk to the people in charge and trying to be an objective member of the team and highlight any issues that you see rather than kind of like, you know, running to your office and shutting the door and letting the team have all sorts of interpersonal issues. I think trying to be a hands-on member of the team and report any workplace concerns that you do see to management is another area that we can help. But again, ultimately, sometimes like the hiring and firing of toxic employees is not necessarily in our control, so it can be tough.
Mm-hmm. One of the other topics that was brought up by one of my technicians was they had expressed how sometimes their job is more difficult because all of us veterinarians are different and we like things done differently. And then we kind of expect them to adapt their work schedule every day to whatever veterinarian is on the floor or whatever one they're working with. And I think that that's a big thing to remember, that, you know, we all do things differently and we're pulling, these people that are helping us and our colleagues and our team members in multiple different directions. And to remember that we might not all do things exactly the same way.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, think of what it would be like to walk in and have a different, you know, hands-on boss every day.
Right.
I do think that would be very challenging. And I have, even in the moment, heard vet techs say like, oh gosh, well, so-and-so likes it done differently. And, you know, I think the only thing we can do sometimes is have grace, try to make protocols. And one thing, you know, I know we talk a lot about using vet techs to their best of their abilities and under their license and all of that. And I did go to our state licensing board and I was able to print out a very easy worksheet that showed exactly what responsibilities vet techs can have under general supervision, what responsibilities they can have under direct supervision, and what aren't permitted at all. So, I mean, I would even suggest to people to get that outlined, post it on the board, have people initial off what they're comfortable with or what they're training to learn. Because yeah, like you said, jumping from boss to boss is difficult. So the more practice-wide protocols you can have, the better. And then just having grace as these board techs have to transition their ways every day.
Yeah, their skill sets and everything, and adapt them to whoever's there. It was just, I had never really thought about it from that perspective before, and I really appreciated having that brought to my attention.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what about Vet Tech Week, Alyssa? I don't know if you guys are doing anything or if you've had seen good successful celebrations in the past. I know it is always stressful because, of course, we can't underscore how valuable these technicians are to our practice. And so sometimes it feels like, are we doing enough year round? Not just Vet Tech Week, but year round. Mm-hmm. Of course, we like Vet Tech Week to be able to celebrate them. Sometimes it feels like, you know, is one pizza party insulting? What should we be doing? What do vet techs want? What will make them feel appreciated? Have you guys had any good ideas?
Mm-hmm. I will tell you this year, you know, because I try to do something every year and I try to do something meaningful, and I absolutely 100% stole my idea this year from another veterinarian on Facebook. And that veterinarian is doing coupons, which I thought was just like a super fun, neat idea. I've never done that before. But basically it's, you know, they are going to write out tasks or things that are generally the the considered the technician's job, and they can be, you know, sometimes undesirable tasks. Lots of times undesirable tasks. You know, that's another thing too that I try to remember every day that I'm in the clinic is like try to not to leave this tornado in my wake. And, yes. And sometimes it's really hard because we're just all running, and I'm trying to get to the next appointment and not keep clients waiting and keep the schedule moving. And see as many patients as possible, but that doesn't mean that other people need to like clean up my mess behind me.
right. So I love that coupon idea. Yeah. What's one thing that you would never put on your coupons?
Oh,
that you just, the task you wouldn't even do as an act of kindness.
As an act of kindness. I think I'd pretty much do anything. Although like they said definitely wouldn't want me to answer the phone because I would be terrible.
Yes.
Like I wouldn't know how to book an appointment. I wouldn't know how to change something. I'd mess it up.
Yeah, I was going to say there are tasks that even if I wanted to do them, I wouldn't know how to do them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, ditto.
Yeah, I should definitely learn how to put in. I mean, I know how to put an e-color together, but it'll take me 10 minutes. You know?
Yes, things would be moving a lot slower for sure.
Do you have one that you would never do?
Oh gosh. No, I don't think so. You know, working in high school as like an assistant, I feel like I'm a good nail trimmer, a good anal gland expressor, that sort of a thing. I think it's so much of the like setting up the x-ray machine, like those tedious things that never stick in my brain that I'm always, you know, hollering for somebody to do for me. I would love to be more self-sufficient, but no, I'm with you. I think the more we can get down and dirty with the techs, I think they respect that. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, cleaning kennels, if you're done with your notes, I think goes a long way from what I've seen. So,
yeah. I guess that's my point too, is I wouldn't ask anybody to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. However, I definitely recognize, like you said, setting up the x-rays or you know, getting the x-rays to transfer over to the medical record. There are definitely things that I am really bad at and I could not survive.
Yes, absolutely. Or like, I think the ones that I would really dread the most would be like taking a phone call from like a client that talks too much. Those are the things that I'm like shameless if I can make somebody else do it rather than the, you know, scrubbing the floors. It's more those things that I appreciate my techs and support staff for. But anyway, yes, hopefully it goes without saying, but we are very appreciative for our vet techs around here. I love seeing some of this research that goes into addressing how to make them happier in their career, how to make it a more sustainable career for veterinary technicians. Obviously, the industry is nothing without them. Mm-hmm. So as much focus as we can give to ensuring their well-being, just as much as our own, I think it's certainly good to see that there has been some light shown on that recently.
Yeah. And I hope everybody has a wonderful upcoming Vet Tech Week and you find just really fun, creative ways to celebrate your team.
Yes, absolutely. So, Alyssa, I think we've made it to the win of the week. Anything come to mind this week that you would consider a win?
Yeah, I do have a win. I mean, at least a partial win so far.
We take partial wins here too, so don't worry.
You know, most of you know I have a 8-year-old dog de Bordeaux. She was limping and she has a swollen toe. And so I was really worried, really, really worried. And I took her in and I took some x-rays and I don't see any lysis and anything like that. And I went ahead and sedated her and took a needle aspirate. And so far, you know, it looks like pyogranulomatous inflammation. So I think she's just got a big old infection. And we just started her on, I just got these results back. So I just started her on antibiotics. It's only been like, you know, 48 hours, but every day I'm like, is it smaller? Mm-hmm. Is it smaller? Because I really don't want to have to take her toe off. But so far, when so far was no evidence of cancer, you know, on her fine needle aspirates. So
yes, that is a big win. I'm glad to hear that poor gal. But yes, keep us posted. Hopefully it will continue to trend in the right direction. Got her mom taking care of her, it sounds like.
Yeah.
My win of the week is actually also about my own dog. Ooh. And I guess you could technically consider it a loss, but he's basically my only family member I talk about on here, but it's about Paul. He is my dachshund, my 9-year-old dachshund, and he is an athlete, professional athlete. He participates in dachshund racing. For those of you that don't know the sport, you should Google it or YouTube it. But there's a really big race every year in Cincinnati that kicks off our Oktoberfest. And this was it happened on Friday, and it was his sixth Oktoberfest race. And there's 100 dachshunds that participate. There's 10 heats of 10 dogs, and there's a final round. And one year he did make it to the finals. He is very fast, but he has an issue where he doesn't like to cross the finish line because the line of people overwhelm him at the end. So it's been 6 years of trying to work with him. I mean, we don't actually, but in my head, we coach him to every year. Yeah, we always practice like 20 minutes beforehand. But anyway, he is very, very fast. He has slowed down in his older age, I guess, because he did not win his race this week, but I was still very proud of him. He, of course, raced well. They have to wear a hot dog costume, so the whole thing is just adorable. So that's my win of the week. My husband calls it my Super Bowl. So, yes, my win was that my Super Bowl happened this week, and while Paul did not win, it was still great fun.
I think just being Paul is a winner just because he was there.
I mean, I'm biased, but I agree. Paul is definitely the winner of my heart. So anyway, well, thanks to all of our listeners out there. Dr. Alyssa and I will be sure to talk to you all soon.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Veterinary Break Room. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. While you're there, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can also listen to podcasts on our website at cliniciansbrief.com/podcasts or drop us a line at podcasts@briefmedia.com. Veterinary Break Room is a Brief Media production produced by Alexis Ussery with sound by Randall Stupka and co-hosted by Dr. Alyssa Watson and Dr. Beth Mollison.